Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another edition of the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I am your host this morning, Latifa A. Hameen. Juma Mubarak to everyone out there. How's everyone doing this morning? Inshallah, everyone is well. We always want to give thanks and praise to Almighty God Allah for blessing us to be here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, we cannot manage this life alone by ourselves. Please make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. Almighty God Allah, we hear and we obey. Oh Allah, you are our Lord. There is no God but you. You created us and we are your servants, and we uphold our covenant as much as we can. We seek refuge in you from the evil we have done. We acknowledge your favor and we acknowledge our sin. So please forgive us. Indeed, there is none that can forgive sins except for you. Amen. And welcome again to another edition of the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I'm a little lost this morning. I don't have my former co-host, Ali Abdul-Rahman. She's no longer with us on the Friday Roundtable. But inshallah, I hope she's doing well. Giving a shout out to Ali Abdul-Rahman this morning. Inshallah. All right, we are going to continue on with our program this morning. We are so happy to, again, be here because we know without Allah blessing us to be here this morning, we wouldn't be here. So we're so thankful to Almighty Allah, inshallah. Today, on the first Friday of every month in October, November, December, we're going to bring on a lot of the staff from Time to Be Grateful, because we want to know all of what's going on, all the good things that's being planned. And so we're going to start with that this morning, inshallah, the first hour. And then the second hour, Marthanala Abdullah, she will be on for the second hour, inshallah. I wanted to just give an overview of one of the brothers that is coming on this morning. So let me give you his bio, Mujahideen Muhammad. He is a student of El Islam under the leadership of Imam Wahdi Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay, and has always had strong desire to share knowledge and guidance to all. He was a student of Sister Claire Muhammad School in Newark, New Jersey, and the Islamic State School of Philly. He graduated from Burlington County Institute of Technology in 2002. In addition, he is an entrepreneur, community activist, and community organizer. In this community, he has been a mentor with Big Brothers Organization, a Boy Scout leader, and a counselor of the Police Athletic League. He also volunteered at the Boys and Girls Club. He was a coordinator and moderator of the Youth Forum in 2006 and 2007, and with the Muhammad Dawa Committee, excuse me. Mujahideen traveled to Rome in October 2008 as a Muslim American ambassador to the Focolare movement to recommit the Pact of Unity. In 2010, Mujahideen participated in the Messiah College Outreach Program and Humanities course, a coach of NFL Junior League flag football and soccer, an activist and tourist. He has served on several boards, including the Urban Peace League, which sponsors a week-long peace summit and Stop the Violence rally in Philly annually. He served as a board member of Masjid al-Din Center for Human Excellence and Medina CDC. He was a Khatib and a Quranic Studies teacher at Madrasa. He is the president of URA Creator Movement. He participated at the Hattiesburg World Affairs Council Peace Summit in 2014. As an associate program director of ICPIC, New Africa Center, Mujahideen founded and designed ICPIC New Freedom District Vision and Tour. In 2019-20, served as imam at Taqwa Community Learning Center in Trenton, New Jersey. In 2002, co-founder of New Freedom Exchange Show podcast. Alhamdulillah, that same year, co-founded New Freedom Works Incorporated and Prosperity Marketplace Exchange. In 2022, he was selected first vice president of the new board of directors of the Muslim Journal. Mujahideen is committed and passionate about working to improve the community for his children and all the children in the world. Alhamdulillah. Without further ado, let's bring on Imam Mujahideen Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, Jumma Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah. Ramadan. I'm ready to go to Ramadan and eat. Jumma Mubarak.
It's like
my mind's going. I'm thinking about all these wonderful things that you've done. I'm like, woo.
Well, I didn't know it was that expensive. My apologies. Yes, ma'am.
It's so good to have you on. Really, ma'am. So, I don't know. Are you going to be on by yourself this morning, or do you have other members that are going to be coming on with you? Did you know?
I have to call out. I don't know who was able to come on today. But I could talk about how we have it set up. We have the executive committee of the Muslim General Time to Be Grateful, which is Imam Kareem, who's the new president of the new board of directors. And then we have Sister Aisha Kay, who's the editor. And then Sister Joan Najila, who's the national chair for Time to Be Grateful. And then we have underneath her leadership, we have liaisons. So myself, Imam Bilal Hassan, Sister Marsha, and Sister Vicky, our liaison. So if they're not on today, inshallah, they'll be on in the coming months. So they are aware of the.
Okay. If anyone is on, please press 1 to get in the queue. Let me check and see with Martha. She has her hand up. And let me, Martha Abdullah, Executive Director, let me check with her real quick and I'll be right back, okay?
All right.
Assalamu alaikum, Martha.
Hi, alaikum, assalam. I just didn't want to let you ride this rodeo by yourself. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Wajuma Mubarak to everyone. So I'm here. Assalamu alaikum, Mujahideen. I'm stepping back into the shadow, but I'm just here with, for you. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, then I'll just leave your mic open. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I appreciate you. All right, go on, Mujahideen. You can go on and continue. I want to learn more about all that's going on with Time to Be Grateful. And we know every month you'll have something different to report. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, inshallah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So we're thankful to, again, this is the 19th annual Muslim Journal of Time to Be Grateful, which is one of the major annual fundraisers for the Muslim Journal. This year's host is Masjid al-Haq, underneath the leadership of Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, who's also the new president of the board of directors of the Muslim Journal. So he's doing double duty, as they say, as the journal is transitioning back into a collective leadership. We know its inception in the Nation of Islam in the 1960s, late 1950s. There were articles that were in historical black newspapers or African American or Negro at that time newspapers that would host the articles about Elijah Muhammad. And then we formulated the Muhammad Speaks in 1961. And so it was a collective effort. It was our national an international newspaper, and it's still our national international newspaper. And so now it is underneath the leadership of Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, along with Sister Aisha, in the process of transitioning that responsibility. And we have, which is going to be at the Time to Be Grateful, several workshops for our community to get update information from the leadership. You'll be able to ask questions, as well as attend certain workshops addressing some future business development with the Muslim Journal. So it's the weekend of December 7th to the 10th. This, to my knowledge, is the first time that Thursday will be a part of the conference. And we have a day of activity honoring our past on that Thursday. And then Friday, yes, ma'am. So I don't know if we want to break down each day. I've done that before. It's very extensive, the activities for that weekend. So we say just get prepared to not to sleep, as was said last time with our sister Aunt, Sister Rahima. She shared that expression. Those days when we used to go to the convention, we haven't seen each other all year in most cases. And so that energy in itself, gives us that adrenaline, but also the intent. And this year, our theme for this conference is to I'm sorry, I'm letting my son go to the bus. this year's theme for the A Time to Be Grateful is in reference to literacy, cultural literacy. And so while we intend to enjoy each other's company, we also want to focus on the themes. Words make people, enhancing literacy and culture for future generations. And so throughout this experience so far, these last 7 months in planning and these few months we have left to continue planning, it's an integration between the previous generation and the next generation. And all that we have been doing with the planning, with the committee, in the event, you'll also see that integrated.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That is really great. I just want to jump in and just say that I see that you all are opening up and really trying to get, you know, everyone involved, and a lot of the young minds, get them involved. So that is so wonderful. Now, if you want, we got, like I said, an hour for each for the next 2 months here. You do what you want to in terms of if you want to break it down for Thursday and every day, or however you want to do it, you can do it, you know, and I'll jump in there sometime and maybe ask some questions. But from moving forward, you can choose what you decide you would like to, unless the listening audience have any questions or anything, okay? So we're going to go back to you, Mujahideen. Okay.
Sure. So Thursday, as we mentioned, being a new day added to this weekend, I know traditionally our community, we normally begin our events after the Jumu'ah prayer. This day, we're going to reflect on our pioneers. We have several exhibits coming from throughout the country to be present there in New Jersey. So while Masjid Al-Haq Nork is the host of Masjid, all the events will be taking place at the hotel at East Rutherford, the Hilton Hotel at East Rutherford. And so in that grand ballroom, we'll have, at least to my knowledge, three to four exhibitors that's going to bring their artifacts, posters, and the like. And also around that same time, so that's going to be, well, first we're going to kick it off with a press conference. We'll have a press conference, and we know AM360 will be one of the media partners that will be present to facilitate the press conference. But we also have local media and TV come out as well. And I always like to take a little bit of time just to not necessarily stress, but just to connect the importance of media, presenting our voice to media. Especially mainstream media, because we know, and we won't go too deep into that, but we know that ideas that are in these spaces also shows how people relate to those people. So it's like, you know, if all you see in media, on news, on TV and movies, on the radio is negative images, negative reports of Muslims, whether locally, nationally, or internationally, it then almost influenced how people engage with Muslims, you know, in this country. And so when we present our representation of al-Islam in media, it then desensitizes, or it counters that desensitization for the wrong message with a counter message, a balanced message. So the press conference, for those who can make it there, I believe it will be at 11 a.m. To come and be present to witness us present to media what we're going to do for that weekend. So we'll have the exhibit right after that. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful. And then you're going to have the exhibit and you need the press conference. Then you're going to have entertainment, both Thursday and Friday, or how does that work?
Yeah, so before we get to the table, we are going to have a tour. So we are going to go into we're going to have a historical sightseeing tour. We're going to actually go into New York and look at our historical community there. Since the paper did begin, it's associated with Malcolm X in 1961. We're going to go to several sites in New York with Malcolm Ahash Malik Shabazz. And then we're also going to go to, of course, North, the whole site. The whole city, rather, and then go to the New Muslim Journal headquarters and some other historical sites in Newark also. So that will be also on Thursday. Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of wonderful things going on Thursday. Wow, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then that evening they're going to honor what they call the 300, those carriers who sold 300 papers or more weekly. We're going to have a special dinner for them and their family on that Thursday evening. And then there's also that Thursday evening, the youth are putting together a sneaker ball. The young adults have been integrated in everything, in every committee on this planning session, and they're being responsible to host a sneaker ball on Thursday evening.
And what is that?
Yeah, so that's an opportunity for the young people to get together, to meet each other, to show off their good clothes and their hot sneakers, so to speak, their cool sneakers. I'm young, but I'm not as young as to know all the new language. They got kicks, you know, they got all type of names for a lot of. It's funny though, because a lot of kids, they be wearing slides and slippers and all that stuff. So we'll see what they got to show us. Exactly. Yeah, I got young children. I don't know what they'd be wearing on their feet half the time, but I know it's expensive.
I'm gonna know. Well, we're gonna go on and take a break right here, and then we'll come back. We'll open up the line to the listening audience. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for Mujahideen, you can raise your hand, press 1 to get in the queue. We appreciate it so much. We're going to take this break right now, though, inshallah. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
welcome back to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I am your host, Latifa A. Hameen. We have a member of the staff with the Time to Be Grateful, which will be the December. I think it's going to be December. Tell me. Look, I'm all right. So that's December the 7th to the 10th,
yep.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, alhamdulillah,
yep,
alhamdulillah. December 7th through the 10th. We have a caller, 504-488. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to the
Wa alaikum assalam.
We haven't heard from you in a while. I hadn't seen you. How are you okay, brother?
You enjoyed your Umrah, you and Brother Bilal?
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
that's good. And assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhajdeen. Alhamdulillah. I love this. I love to hear the different things that we have going on in our community. They got something that wrote I'd like to share. Alhamdulillah.
All right.
Allah's mercy. Alhamdulillah. Allah's mercy. Blessings for humanity. His servants give what they need, tender love and care, why we do our share. Think about yourself. You must be fair. A group of people who live as if God is with them always. Our meeting over the airwaves are profound, especially those who were once called the lost found. There's a new creation in town. You should love the way that sounds. Look at the group of our volunteers. We see in them unshakable faith, no grief or fear. When we wholeheartedly give ourselves to Allah, a lot of negative forces in us will die. Sincerity to God keep us alive. Many of us got sick and tired. Total submission to God, we had to try. Community life look like CWSC and AM360. Our concern must be firm. We know that we are embracing the need to achieve. Peace isn't free. All kinds of peace, people will get what we need. Their struggles are real. This isn't let's make a deal. Prophet Muhammad was given revelation that is still improving the world condition. CWSC and AM360 have volunteered. They are saving us a lot of money, human resources at its best, passing life tests. We need a different mindset. Our inherent rights have a toll in struggling to set goals that respect what we know. Scratching out of the head won't get it. Our souls and mind must be too legit to quit it. We know when God is teaching and moving us, we can grow our Islam as life right alongside of America. We are taxpayers. We must never deny God's favors. This trust may hinder our growth. And other groups, we are benefiting, and they love and appreciate what we know. So praise be to Allah. And that goes for all the efforts in our community. So alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah.
We appreciate you. We miss you.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. Thank you. All right. Allahu Akbar. All right. Mujahideen, you can, we're going to turn it back over to you. That was all that we had in terms of listening audience. Inshallah.
Inshallah, yeah. So you can check out MuslimJournal.net/ATTBG-2023. So that's MuslimJournal.net/ATTBG-2023. Or you could go on the host site, which is the host MasjidAlHaq.com. That's MasjidAlHaq.com. And you'll see the whole lineup, the pit where you can get your tickets. And fortunately, everything is streamlined. So you go on that site, you'll click the link, and you can get there. We have packages. We have a la carte. You can pick, you know, pick and choose which events you want to attend. As well as a link for you to see the lineup of hotels, and you can select one of the hotels in the surrounding areas to be a part, to be present that weekend. And we also have sponsorships for those who can't make it there in person. Your face, your business, your
institution can be present by taking out an ad. We have even patron ads for your family. We have a business card ad, half page and full page ads. So it's a place for everyone to participate in some form or fashion. So this we talked about Thursday. Yes, ma'am.
My apologies. I always like to get to, we have a hand up over here, and please hold that thought. I want to make sure I get to the listening audience. 213-925, state your name and where you're calling from. I'm the CWSC Friday Roundtable.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. This is Amin at SisterClaireMuhammadSTEMSchool.com, SisterClaireMuhammadSTEMSchool.com. I'd like to know the prices of the event, and I'm a vendor also, the price of a vendor to have a booth so I can sell my product. So, alhamdulillah, I'll hang up right there. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll give you the bad news first. It's not necessarily bad news. There's good news on one end. It may not be as good for you, but the vending actually sold out. So all of our vending spaces, our vending marketplace is full to capacity. At this moment, so the only business opportunity for those who are vendors is, as I mentioned, to get ads. We have several different ads categories. They start off at $50 for a business card or a patron ad with just your name. As you just mentioned, your name is $25. It'll actually be in a souvenir brochure, which is going to be all color pages for all those, inshallah, over 900 people or plus that's going to attend the banquet. They'll get that booklet, and we'll also have a digital copy. And we have the quarter page at $75, half page $125, and third page at $200. As regards to the tickets, purchasing tickets for the Times of Grateful, again, we have group packages, all-inclusive package, inshallah, and going forward, we intend to all-inclusive packages. Right now is at $290. That includes everything, all the events, the workshops, the awards banquet, the culture night, the family luncheon and fashion show, the business breakfast. We're going to have a unity and interfaith ta'aleem on Sunday. That includes that. So that's that part. And for the young adults, I believe the number, I don't know if they have an age, but young adult in our community, we always have this discussion, but we'll just say for sake of a number, 35 and below, we have an all-access package for the young adults. I think right now is at $215. That includes everything that I mentioned, as well as the young adult activities. Some events the young adults are going to be hosting that are independent of the these other signature events. So the young adults will have full access, and that was intentional because we want them to be involved, to know that this work that our pioneers, our elders, our parents and grandparents have struggled, strived, and lived for and worked for, we have to take on more responsibility. And so we want to include them. We want them to be a part of it. And so we gave them a little additional discount so that we can facilitate and accommodate them. And then, as I mentioned, we have a la carte. So if you don't want to go all access to everything, you can individualize it. And all this is on the website, again, masjidalhaq.com. You'll see that. And we encourage people to do it before November 15th because we are going to have an additional, I think it's going to increase by $10. So you want to get your tickets now if you can because by November 15th there will be a slight increase. And so you'll see the breakdown on the workshops, $20, culture night, $50. The banquet at this time is $125, and so forth and so on. So hopefully that answers this question.
Wow, yes, yes. So, wow, there's a lot going on. You know, I'm just really happy that a lot of the young minds and always I know that's our future. So just I'm so happy that they're going to be so involved in what's going on. So alhamdulillah for that. And them being involved, more involved in what's going on. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, inshallah, we'll get back to how it was. You know, we are one community. We've always been one community, but we know as time evolves, you know, we have these separations or gaps at times. And so the intent is to bring us back together as one unit. Because in order for us to be this model community, we have to work together.
Alhamdulillah. Well, that is so wonderful. I'm just, this sounds so exciting. I'm excited about being there. So, alhamdulillah, it sounds very, very exciting here. Listening audience, y'all have any other questions for Mujahideen? If you do, press 1 to get in the queue. The 213, if you, Brother Amin, if you do not have any other questions, press 1 to get out. I don't want to overlook you if you have another question. And if you do have another question, press 1 to get back in, okay, inshallah. Just want to make sure that I'll get you in case you have another question for Mujahideen. All right. So all of this, so tell us about, okay, you have so that's Thursday. So tell us what's happening on Friday. What's going on Friday, inshallah?
Yeah. And I'm glad the brother reminded me because I seem to always forget, but, and I'm a vendor myself, an entrepreneur. So sometimes we do kind of overlook the business people. The business people are very important in our community. And so, if we have more vendors and business participation and support throughout our community, we can be able to expand these type of events to accommodate more vending in more space. And again, our goal is not to just have events and have experiences and exchanges, but it's to also develop, right? So though we may not have any more vending spaces, we have over 50 vendors that are already paid and getting set up for the food, for the vending court. The vending marketplace, rather. As I said, other business people are welcome and get creative. I mean, there's online business. So if you come with your business cards or you get an ad, you can be selling and vending on your ad, on your website. So we invite you to come. So the vending marketplace, I just want to say that to say the vending marketplace is open all day from 10 to 10 on Thursday and Friday, of course, stopping for Yom Jumu'ah. But in that morning on Friday, we're going to have a breakfast. So we're inviting the community out, the young adults, the pioneers, to come out for the breakfast on Friday morning. And then we'll have, of course, the Jumu'ah prayer. And then after the Jumu'ah prayer, we're going to kick it off with some workshops, some dynamic workshops. The workshops will start around 3 p.m. Leading up just shy of the culture night, which is planned to be a dynamic event. It is chaired, our chairperson for the culture night is the one and only Sister Suad El-Amin. She's curating that, and she also, again, with the same strategy, integrating the young adults, the next generation, and the present, and so they're going to have a nice dynamic lineup for you all for the culture night that evening on Friday. So Friday, if you can't come in Thursday to experience the exhibits, and the exhibits actually will be there the whole weekend. We do have a designated area for the exhibits, but the grand exhibit will be on that Thursday. But if you can't get in there Thursday, come on in Friday, and we have the vending, the graphics, the Jumu'ah prayer, workshops, and then the culture night on that Thursday.
Brother Amin is back on. He has raised his hand again. Let me get to him, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Amin.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Can you hear me? Because I'm driving and I'm about to stop.
Yes.
In the supermarket.
Yes.
Good. Praise be to Allah. You know, I'm a proponent of reparations. Reparations is going like wildfire. Very rich people, the richest man in the world, no, richest African-American man in the world is, you know, weighing into reparations. Robert Johnson, who sold BET for like $4 billion, is weighing in on reparations. So I would like to discuss reparations. So how do we pick and choose the topics and the people who are going to present? That's my question. Because I would like to talk about reparations.
Excellent.
My question is who, how, you know, who chooses and the topic, et cetera.
Yes,
that's my question, and I'll leave. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you. Good question. Good energy. Again, so our theme is Words Make People, Enhancing Literacy and Culture for Future Generations. So we're intentional that all of our workshops and even the other activities that we're doing reflect that theme. And so when you talk about reparations, we have a slogan. It could be considered a slogan an axiom. We say our reparations is revelation. And so throughout this weekend, they're going to have different components, economic, community development, family life development, cultural development, or literacy. We're using the term literacy. And so historical or heritage literacy. And so that specific topic of reparation, I'm sure, will be integrated in one of those discussions. And if you're coming, brother, we welcome you to share your perception on that in one of these workshops. So that will be forthcoming, the layout of the workshops. To my knowledge, we're up to about 20 different workshops throughout the weekend. And Sister Marsha, who's the chair of the workshop committee, God willing, she'll be on. If she's not on now, she'll be on our next one to lay that out. The different workshops and the strategy communicating in line with the theme. So I appreciate the brother's concern and interest in what he addressed.
All right, let me make sure he doesn't have any other questions. Brother Amin, did that answer your question? Did you have any more questions?
No, ma'am, no more. It's fine for now. Everything is good for now.
Thank you.
And
you
I would even encourage the brother to write an article. I mean, the Muslim Journal is our media entity, our media vehicle. And so if he acknowledged there are others that are in the African-American community that are leading this discussion or waning on the discussion, and he seems to be abreast of that, I would encourage him to write an article about it, to connect our community audience with some of his findings, because he may well be our representative in that space as well. The Muslim Journal is also planning and working towards a young ambassador program, and we're looking for new journalists and new correspondents, and so that will be presented at some of our workshops that the Muslim Journal is having as well that weekend, the opportunity for our intellectual pool to increase or be presented or showcased through this media outlet.
Alhamdulillah. All right, Brother Amin, you hear that? Alhamdulillah.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I heard you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
And that's one
Thank
of the beautiful
you.
Partnerships, beautiful things about partnering with AMP 60, because that's clearly one of the missions of this platform as well. And so though we may have different names, we're still of one community.
Alhamdulillah, definitely. Thank you so much, Brother Amin. All right, we are going to go to another station identification break. You're listening to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I'm your host, Latifah A. Hameen. You can connect with us online at am360.org or by 24-hour streaming, 701-719-4197. Join us live in the studio by dialing 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. You can email us at info@cwsc.us or tweet us at CWSHURA. That's SHURAA. Like us on Facebook, Community-Wide Shura Conference, and American Muslim 360 Sharing. Visit the website of our parent company at cwsc.us or leave a listener comment at 910 317-0297. You're listening to AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Together, we can remake this world into a better place. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
And welcome back to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. We have our guest, Mujahideen Muhammad, from the American, because I'm Asian. I'm trying to be grateful. I'm aware I could, you know, I'm like, whoop. All right. I wanted to ask you, make sure that that you get your announcement in, your PSA in. Brother Mujahideen, we need to talk about that as well. Okay, we'll talk about that. I'll give you a call, make sure we get that. We definitely want to get a time to be grateful PSA in, inshallah. So we'll be able to play yes. that. All righty, so we definitely want to do that. All right, we have Brother Bilal again, 504-488. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. There's something else I wrote I'd like to share. Prayer
okay.
show that we are wise. Alhamdulillah. Prayer show that we are wise and we care. Working out of community must be shared. Great civilization fell. They left all prayer. Corrupt leaders who didn't care. Didn't treat the people fair. Prayer prevent corruption of the soul. Free thinkers practice what they know. Intentions are made sincerely to keep us safe. We are people of rational faith. At least 5 daily prayers every day. Fulfill all obligations. Prayers and good deeds are salvation. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much again, Brother Lau. We appreciate you. And now I'm going to bring on Martha. She's going to give us the Sharia Juma. This today, inshallah. I'm sorry, Martha. There you go, Martha.
That's okay. Yes, and assalamu alaikum wa Juma Mubarak to everyone again, especially to you, Latifa Hameen, our host, and to our guest, Mujahideen. Drawing a blank. I know it's a good man now. Alhamdulillah, with my brother, Mujahideen. All right. Alhamdulillah. It's, okay, so for Juma today, it is going to be, our khatib is going to be Imam Abdul Aziz of Bronx, New York, of Masjid Adams Center for Human Excellence. But he's going to be at Masjid Allah in Plainfield. So he will be coming on at 1:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you can come at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will have a few hadiths that we will share, and then we hear from Imam Al-Khatib, Imam Abdul Aziz of Bronx, New York. And following that, he will share a few words of what's happening in the community, and then we will go into a commentary of Imam Warith Deen Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. Thank you so much, Latifa. Mujahideen, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. All right, we have another caller, 267-455. Assalamu alaikum. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the CWSC Friday Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Yes. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
So that's my cousin.
I'm calling from
the
Philadelphia. Philadelphia.
Okay. Yes. And what's your name?
The next guest.
My name is John Douglas.
Oh, he's the next guest. I'm sorry. Well, then you just stay on and continue listening. And do you have any comments or anything you'd like to make? I know you're the next guest here. So, but do you know, do you have any comments or questions or anything for our guest here? No?
No. I just came on.
All right, thank you so much. We'll get you on the next one. All right, thank you. All right, we're going to turn it back over to you, Mujahideen. We're going to be wrapping up here in about 7-8 minutes here. So continue to give us a little bit more of the activities on Friday. And again, like I said, we'll be on November, and we'll also be on December. So we have time to put some more information out there, inshallah. And we're going to go on and wrap it up and giving us the words of wisdom here and leaving us with some information. I know you've given us so much where to go to. But anyway, we can do that again, inshallah. All right, turn it back over
Absolutely.
To you.
Thank you again. So it'll be December 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th in New Jersey. It'll be at the Hilton Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey. You can go to muslimjournal.net/ATTBG-2023, or you can go to masjidalhaq.com, and you'll see all the lineup and places where you can get your tickets. So going into Thursday, every day, of course, we're Muslim, so we have a designated area for our congregational prayers for those who like to pray in Jamaat. So you'll get that when you register. And sign in on Thursday or Friday, or whenever day you come in, you'll get your welcome package, a nice bag. They're preparing some nice things for our guests. They'll have the welcome booklet with all the events in it. We have dynamic committees. As we mentioned in the onset, we've had integrated throughout this process, planning process, a committee model. And in the committee model, we have representation from every part of our community. And so we have several committees that have been, actually we've been meeting every week since June, I believe, or July. And we have several committees and the hospitality committee, they're going to greet you with warm welcome and give you the things you need for that weekend. And so going into Saturday, we have kicking off the morning with workshops. Again, we'll have our workshop chairperson come on next time, God willing, and other chairs to come on to build out these events to give you more in-depth. But that'll be going on up until the fashion show and luncheon, which we have some dynamic fashion. You know, our community, we are people, now they call us people of color, but we are colorful people as well. And so we have several dynamic fashion designers, male and female. Most of the time when we think of fashion show, the sisters, y'all be running the runway. But we have some brothers who can dress well as well. And so we have a couple brother designers, men designers. And it's open. That is still open for those of you who have or have experience in modeling or like to get into modeling. I know one of my first modeling experiences was at a convention back some time ago. I was a young man. I was modeling with the Bilalian wear. Our dear brother had the Bilalian wear shirts. And Imam also, Imam W.D. Muhammad, had the suits. I was a part of that modeling experience. And so if you're into it or you want to get into it, there'll be an open call for those who are joining us live to be a model at the fashion luncheon. We call it a family fashion show and luncheon. And then after that, we'll have a little time of rest and leisure, spend some more workshops, and then the grand ball or the grand awards banquet that evening on Saturday from 7 to 10. We have some dynamic awardees, recipients. So, again, all that stuff will be forthcoming. We'll have Sister Joan Nadia, who's the national chair.
You're kind of going in and out. It's very scratchy. I don't know. I'm hoping it's not my phone here. I don't know. Okay.
I'm sorry. Is it any better?
Yeah, it is, but it's still kind of going in and out. I don't know. It could be my phone, too. Oh. Yeah. But anyway. Well, I was trying to listen.
How about now? Does it sound better?
Oh, yeah. That's much better. Thank you.
Okay, I'll pick up the headphones. Okay. So hopefully you ever hear a majority of what I was saying of Saturday, workshops, vending, the family fashion show and luncheon, and the awards banquet that evening. And then Sunday closing out, we'll have a business networking breakfast. We have some special presentations that's going to be presented, and business opportunities. So whether you're in business, you want to expand your business national, internationally, we have some great dynamic presenters that's going to, actually on both days, Saturday and Sunday, that's going to present some opportunities for you, some resources for you, or if you want to go into business, and then all respect the room. So come with good intentions. I remember one of the themes we had, most of the time, the great friend Bermuda, it was called the Fitness Free Zone. And so we want to keep that energy in all of our events. And we know Allah reminds us in the Quran about our children and our wives and even our wealth will be a fitness. It will be a challenge for us. And so we know we're going to have natural challenges. We have issues in our communities that we have to address. But we know when we come with the right intention and the right values of each other, seeing the value in each other, we can get through all of these challenges with the intent of being excellent.
My, wow. Sounds wonderful, wonderful. Well, we have truly, truly enjoyed you being here this morning. Thank you for taking time to share with us all of the events that are going to be going on with the Time to Be Grateful in December, December 7th. The 7th through the 10th?
Yes.
7th through the 10th, inshallah. So we're looking forward to that. All right. Well, then we are going to sign off. Do you have anything else that you want to leave us with, some words of wisdom there? I know you got a lot of them.
No, just we're thankful to be able to represent this legacy institution and see it carry on to the next generation. Being a son or a child of this community, I used to always see a lot of things and hear a lot of things, but now we're able to do and be a lot of what we need to do and be for this community going forward. One slogan did come to my mind when you said about the dates. I thought of, you know, thanks heaven for 7-11. So just think about that. Come on down to 7, December 7-11. Stay over extra day if you like. And enjoy our time together in the Garden State. They call it the Garden State, New Jersey.
Inshallah. Thank you so much, Brother Mujahideen. We appreciate you. And inshallah, we look forward to you all coming on again on the first Friday of November, inshallah.
Yes,
so
inshallah.
We are going to, inshallah. And thank you. Jumma Mubarak to you. Brother, and may Allah continue to bless this journey that we're on and the Time to Be Grateful staff and all the wonderful things that you all continue to do, inshallah. Thank you so much. All right, and I am going to move out of the way and let our executive director, Martha Nyla Abdullah, come to get in the engineer in the host seat, and she has her guest. So I am going to say assalamu alaikum and Jumar Mubarak, and thank you so much, and you're welcome to stay on, Brother Mujahideen, for the next guest, inshallah. Jumar Mubarak. And we are going to go to a break, inshallah.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. In English, I seek refuge with Almighty God from the Shaitan, the enemy of all mankind. With Almighty God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, I'm openly acknowledging, declaring that God is one. There are no partners with God. And truly, we are serving Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Almighty God. And truly, we are all servants. We're created to be servants of Almighty God. And here we are this morning thanking Almighty God for another beautiful day in my world. And I ask Almighty God's blessings be upon those who are feeling discomfort, dis-ease, any challenges, that they find they're blessed with the strength to make it through those challenges. And for those who are bereaving for their loved one no longer being here physically, that they find the ease in their life as well. Praise be to Almighty God. And for all the atrocities that are happening around this globe, we're human and we're in this life until Almighty God's declaration has been declared, has been made already. And it's a blessing that we don't know when our time is up here. But praise be to Almighty God for our being here, and we're going to want to make the best of it. And that is, we want to seek life, not death. So I'm prefacing this and with this prayer because it gives me great honor to be able. I'm Martha Nyla Abdullah, and I'm calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida, from Florida. As I was born and raised, I was born in Brooksville, Florida, and I was raised in Pompano Beach, Florida, and I had the great honor of having a loving, loving family. And all of us can say we're part of a family, and there are many things that we come to know about our family members, and especially if they espouse to become an upstanding citizen. That's what we look forward to, is being, as we hear our parents say, now you're representing the family. Don't you go out there and do anything ugly. And they left it like that. Or they said certain words to the girls and they said the boys. Well, in our family, if you sat down to the table, someone came to our home, and this is in the southern, in the south, yes, and you came to our house and then we met you, and you came back again and you sat at the table to eat, well, you became cousin and you became uncle or auntie. That's just the way it was. And we say, I love you because we really meant it. So I love you really was shared with our family, and we were praying. We are a praying family. Why am I sharing that? I'm sharing that because here on at CWSC's Friday Roundtable, Community-Wide Shura Conference Friday Roundtable, we understand that we all are of a family. We are individuals. We're human. And we have our experiences to share. And that's what we're going to do this morning is share with you, have someone share with you from their experiences. And it's going to get very detailing, inshallah, God willing. And it is my cousin. My cousin. I say, Mr. the Deacon John Douglas. From the Douglas family of Brooksville, Florida, whose grandfather was the tour guide for the Turpentine Steel in Brooksville, Florida. If you go to Brooksville, Florida, you will hear about the Turpentine Steel. If you go to the City Hall, you will find that he's on a postcard. Ambrose Douglas is the grandfather, and his wife, young lady at the time, after the Civil War, Ambrose Douglas migrated on down from South Carolina on to Brooksville, Florida, to Jacksonville, really, and then on into Brooksville, Florida, but not before meeting and marrying young bride, and he has been noted to have sired 39 children, Some migrated up to the northeast. Up in Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania. And so likewise, my cousin migrated eventually to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, after he had returned from the war. The war, which war? The War of Vietnam. And in being in the War of Vietnam, much transpired. Much he can share, and he will share this morning, God willing, and about how how his life turned after the age of 20, and he is now a hearty 73 years old. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing that. So I'm going to bring my cousin into you, dear listening audience, as soon as I get back to my screen here. Let's see here. Hold on, Micah. Hold on here. Latifa, if you see the screen, please open up his mic. I would have gone away from the screen. There, maybe this will happen for us. Okay, here we are. And it is, yes. And I give the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum to my cousin who is Deacon John Douglas. Good morning.
Good morning, cuz.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing this morning.
Yes. How are you?
I'm blessed because I woke up.
I mean. all right. Well, you heard how I described you to the audience. And let me share with you. Our audience is from different areas, various areas in the United States, and we have individuals that are listening, including North America. They're listening in Syria. They're listening in Australia. They're listening in Canada, in Russia, all over the globe. So you've traveled to many areas, I'm sure, having been in the service. So let me have you share what you like to say to the audience this morning about you, your family, your love, and everything, and then we'll go into some back and forth dialogue, you and myself, and ask the audience to press 1 if they have any questions, all right, or any comments.
Okay. Well, my name is John Douglas. I'm from Brooksville originally, and I moved to Philadelphia after I came home from Vietnam. And been in Philadelphia now 53 years. I came here when I was 19, going on 20. And it's been a rough road, but with the grace of God, I'm still here. So just like my cousin was saying about our family shared each other about how grateful and everything we was for all the stuff that we had and didn't have. But I'm proud to say that I'm the grandson of an ex-slave that came, and she just explained that with 39 siblings, and I'm one of the sons of one of those siblings, Miss Georgia May Douglas, that done passed on, and she was a preacher in the Pentecostal religion. Oh, I was brought up in Pentecostal religion. But when I went to Vietnam, everything changed. And then because of all the stuff that I did, I ain't going to get into that. But it changed my life completely. And I moved to this city of Philadelphia with a friend that was in Vietnam with me. And if he said, if we survived Vietnam, he wanted me to come to Philadelphia. And I survived Vietnam and I came to Philly. But the only bad thing when I came to Philly, it was like I had came from a war into another war. Basically, a lot of the people here that I ran into, they didn't like me just because I was from the South. And I hadn't even did anything and they didn't know anything about me. But with the grace of God, I survived. And I'm still standing with him by my side. And my cousin was up here not long ago, and me and her were sitting down talking and reminiscing about our life when we was kids. And I left when Florida originally left. I went in the Job Corps when I turned 16, and then from the Job Corps, I went in the Marine Corps. And then from there, I came, did all I had to do in boot camp and everything, and then they sent me to Vietnam. So that's a little scenario about me, and I'm going to give it back to my cousin right now.
All right. Thank you, cuz. And everyone, I pray you get used to us saying cuz, because that's as family can get. Now, let me give a little backdrop, too, to our connection. I mean, we really, if you ever slept on the floor and that we were cousins, we slept on the floor together. We went through, we played. We knew nothing else. We didn't even know about being poor because we had the love of the praying family. And my mother, Flora Moore Latham, you've probably, some of you have heard her here on AM 360. Our grandmother, Minnie Douglas, short stature woman, but I mean a big heart. And what I remember going to her home when we would go back to Brooksville would be that those pies were cooked. Remember that, John? Those pies.
Yes, Lord.
And you couldn't eat that pie the first day. She would cover it with a towel, and she put it in the cabinet, and you'd eat it the next day. And, boy, was it good. But praise be to Almighty God. It takes us back to the days of those washing their clothes in the big black pot. And different times, you know, you had to do a lot of yard work, but a lot of the turpentine steel workers back in that day, some, if they were injured, there was no such thing as workers' comp, of course. But we come on now to ourselves as being the descendants, the grandchildren of those who were from Ambrose Douglas. And many of you may remember Buster Douglas. He was in the boxing industry. Unfortunately, he had a heart attack and transitioned. But the descendants, we don't know all the descendants. So one thing in particular we can note today is that you get to know your family, no matter where they are and how they're doing. And that takes me to this part. John, I'm going to go to a public service announcement. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you questions about as much as you want to share about how you survived in being in Philadelphia. What were some of the things that happened? The part of coming from Vietnam and what your condition was health-wise and how you survived that, and then how you survived the life of living in Philadelphia. So we'll be right back, dear listeners. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah, and our guest for this morning here at this hour is Mr. Deacon John Studdard, my cousin. Thank you. Stay with us, dear listeners. We'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, inviting all hosts to the upcoming host meeting scheduled this Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. God's peace be upon you. All right, and we're back. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah. I'm here as your host this morning on this Community-Wide Shura Conference Friday round table. And at the round table, my cousin and I are sitting here, just as well say, we're sitting here at the coffee table, if you will, perhaps, but really we're not in each other's presence right now. But it has become a custom now for me to travel back and forth from Florida to Philadelphia. And I'm going to go back into the interview with my cousin, Deacon John Douglas. And cuz, if you don't mind, and everyone, if you have a question or comments, please press 1. This is in line with where we say we recognize the mental health. We recognize the family separated because of whatever the reasons. And it has a lot to do with how we're caring for ourselves or how we see ourselves or what we don't want our families to know perhaps at different times. And so that's where I'm going to turn to my cousin now and ask you, if you don't mind sharing your coming from the Marines, from the Vietnam, and trying to have life as you knew it from before. Share with us what you will about life after Vietnam. Hold on one moment. Let me open your mic. Close your mic, too. Hold on, John. Okay. All right. Please, by all means.
Well, after coming back from Vietnam, because I came to Philadelphia, and it was hard. I mean, there was gang war here in this city, so the young man's mother told me to go down to the end of the block and introduce myself so the guys in the neighborhood would know who I was. And after I introduced myself, and they the one gave me the nickname Gator, Swamp Compton Gator, at first. And I used to hate that name, but then they started just calling me Gator. And then my friend, he got back with his friends, and I had to get in these streets of Philadelphia and survive. I had to make friends of my own, and it was hard. But I had the Lord by my side, but at that time, I had them strayed away from church. My main focus was to get you before you got me. And so I went through a very violent stage in this city of Philadelphia. Eventually, I wound up on drugs. I was on harem for 15 years, running back and forth to jail and stuff, doing all kind of stick-ups and robberies and all of that. But all that changed eventually But it took me a long time to get back to the church because the way this city had changed me so much, all I thought about was defense. And then people always started saying that guy Gator, he crazy because he don't never have no humor. He always thinking somebody trying to get him. And it was true because everybody that I knew eventually come to find out, they truly wasn't my friend. Then I met two guys, one from North Carolina and the other one was from North Carolina, and both of them was the Vietnam vets. Well, all together, it was four of us that met up in boot camp. Two guys from the North and two guys from the South. It was Jordan from Philly, Trees from Philly, and Jenkins from Philly, North Carolina, and me from Florida. And we all wind up in Philadelphia, me and Jenkins, since 1970. But all three of those brothers are gone now. And I'm the last one standing from that group that went through boot camp, Vietnam, and came back to the streets of Philadelphia. But other than that, it just was hard, but I never knew God was on my side because I had done took religion, and that was on the back of, way in the back of my mind. But eventually, one day, it was a friend of mine named Sam, and the rumor was going around. I didn't even know that he said if Brother Gator can change his life, I know I could change my life. And we started running into each other, and every time we met, we were talking about the Bible. And gradually, I joined the church. And the preacher was Pastor Allen. He was originally from Arkansas, and he was the preacher at Vine Memorial, where I'm a deacon at now. And I love the way he preached because he wasn't preaching at you. He was preaching to you so you could learn what he was saying. He was a learning preacher where you could learn from. So I went there on the 28th of December, 2003. And he opened the doors of the church. And I said, I should join this church. And there was two elderly ladies sitting in front of me. And they said, why don't you? So I got up and I went. And from that day, I've been a member of Vine Memorial here in Philadelphia at 56 in Girard. And so I praise God, and I praise my family. But see, a lot of stuff I went through, like I told my cousin, I never told my family. I even told her some of the stuff, but I never told her all what happened to me in Vietnam and the streets of Philadelphia. But I thank God that I'm here. So I praise him every morning when I get up. My alarm clock go off at 6:10. I use my restroom, and then I come back and fall on my knees and thank him for letting me see another day that I never saw before and give praise to him and thank him for my life and for my family life and everybody I know and love, even my enemies. You keep him first before anything. Now, what else you want to know about me, cuz?
Hey, well, while we're having this conversation, and everyone, please, we pray that you feel a part of this, because as we enjoy the as we enjoy the remnant of the blessings from those who have gone on before us, and we're in our particular areas of our lives, whether it's religion, whether it's in whatever, and I want to put the religious part as a covering over everything, the spiritual life over everything, and then where we go into the different fields, government or into culture and into education, whatever area we go into, what covers everything is, and that's what I'm bringing out here as you're talking, cuz, about how the Creator, Almighty God, has the power to unite first the you in us, the us, that center core of us that has strayed, though we're walking around looking human and we're going about everyday routines, but something is going on in our head, and that's what I want to touch on now. When you mention about coming from Vietnam and at once indicating that you were crazy, why were they indicating that you were crazy? Were you employed? Were you able to be employed once you came home from the service? Did you get your benefits from being in the service? How did that go?
Well, the reason people thought I was crazy, because I didn't take anything off of anybody. I don't care if you was in a supervisor position or whoever you were. My thing was I wasn't going to let that happen to me, because a lot of people don't know, while we was in Vietnam, there was a lot of riots going on between blacks and whites, and they never publicized that. We was having more riots. Every time you turned around, there was something dumb going on, and the brothers, we wasn't going to take it. So as I came back from Vietnam, a lot of stuff that people thought I was crazy, but I wasn't. As far as I was concerned, I was not crazy, but they thought I was crazy because maybe some of the things I did to them, they thought I was crazy, because one time me and one of the supervisors, he was always, seemed like he was always on me all the time. And I guess he figured he could intimidate me. And so what I did was, I got his routine. He went to lunch at 2 o'clock every day, and I knew the cafeteria didn't. He would be the last person in the cafeteria. He'd be the last person coming out the cafeteria. So I ambushed him. I waited like almost a month getting his routine down. So when he came out the cafeteria, when no one in the hallway but me, and I stepped to him, and he didn't see me until I stuck my shank in his side and told him, if he keep bothering me, I'm going to kill him and let him go. Then stick it where it would be an impression in his side, and then drop the knife down the mail slot and went and sat back down at my desk. And he came with the government police while I was sitting there in tears, saying that I pulled a shank on him. And I'm saying, I've been sitting here all the time doing my work. What are you talking about? So after that, they sent me to see a psychiatrist. And right to this day, as like I said, as far as I knew, I was not crazy, but they determined that with me going through all the traumatic stuff that I went through over in Vietnam, that I started seeing a psychiatrist regular and still didn't want to give me my benefits. All they would do is give me medication, all kind of mind-moving drugs to try to give me Thorazine, Haldol. Then they wound up giving me Sorrento. I was so sedated that I couldn't hardly work. So my psychiatrist and my psychotherapist, they managed to get me my 100%, but it took me 21 years to get a disability. I had been around to a mental institution up on the VA on the 7th floor. I had been up there numerous of times, and then they sent me to Coastville in Pennsylvania. I had been up there a couple of times, and so they still denied that didn't happen to me. My state didn't happen to me. Well, that happened to me with my mind and stuff in Vietnam. All they would do is just keep giving me mental medication. So eventually I ran into two brothers that was twins, identical twins, Ron Daniel and Don Daniel. And Ron passed a month before that, and his brother just passed 2 Saturdays ago from brain cancer, and his other brother, Ron, passed from cancer. I have a lot of guys in my group, my PTSD group and DAV group, done passed from cancer. And that's always in the back of my mind that it might come on me, but I can't worry about that. So that is that. But eventually they gave me my 100%. And I retired. They told me that I could not work no more at the VA because I couldn't deal with the people. They had a thing on me that if I got upset, send me off the job because they had thought I would hurt someone. They said that I had PTSD with chronic paranoid schizophrenic. So they didn't want me back at the VA, so they retired me, and I wound up getting my 100%.
And for those who don't understand, and everyone, assalamu alaikum again, God's peace be upon you, and to you, my cousin, dearly, because hearing you share this story, perhaps many have heard a story like this before from their family members or from others, but I'm attributing right now much of the dilemma that we have swelling in the country. Many of the Vietnam veterans that weren't shown the love to the war, even though the fighters, you all, were not the ones who created the situation, but the country did not have open arms. If you share some of that, you said when you all returned.
Oh, when we came back from Vietnam, I was so proud. I was on the plane. We landed in L.A., all plane full of Marines. We got off the plane, and there were protesters walking around with signs saying that we were drug addicts and baby killers. And so some of the guys even got spit on. And so that was devastating right there. You done went and fought a war for this country, and then you come back home, and the people looking at you like you ain't nothing. And they nobody want to hear anything about Vietnam. They swept it under the rug. They treated the Vietnam vets, us, like dirt. So when I came home and I went to the base at Camp Pendleton, they had a big old box saying unwanted military gear. I took my whole duffel bag and threw it in that bag, in that big old box. And I came home from California to Brooksville, Florida, and took off that uniform and never put it back on, and I don't even know where I put it at in the house. If my life depended on it, I'd be dead, because I never would have knew where I put it, because I was so angry. And for many years, I was angry. And then when the other was about Kuwait and Iraq and all of that, they started to, on Friday, turn your light on your car, put a yellow ribbon around trees and anything and everything. Us Vietnam vets, especially me, I was angry, very angry, because they showed those veterans pride and showed us disgust. So a lot of Vietnam vets didn't even want to tell nobody they was in Vietnam. And then when I came home, I go to the VA, and they tried to sit me on a job to the SPCA. I don't have nothing against the SPCA, but I didn't think that I deserved the job that they tried to give me, burning the carcass of dead animals. I refused to take that job, and I came back to the VA, and they didn't never get me no job. I got my job by ear of mouth, and I wind up, me and Stephen Jordan, working for the Social Security Administration, because we heard about they was hiring veterans, and we went down and got hired. And then I brought my friend Jenkins. He was working at a steel mill. And I told Steve, let's tell Jenkins about it. So we brought him to Social Security. And he wound up retiring after 40 years with Social Security Administration. Jenkins, he wasn't outrageous like me and Steve. He wasn't in the streets like me and Steve. Me and Steve, we was more into violent stuff, but Jenkins wasn't. So, but that part of it, a lot of Vietnam vets, and I wind up doing an interview on Channel 6 here in Philadelphia, and I told the reporter, because he asked me, how did I feel? I say, for a long time, I felt angry because no one wanted to show the Vietnam vets love. But then they even interviewed some other people, and this lady, she said they shunned it at us. They didn't want to hear nothing about us, and that was true.
Okay, cuz, let me interrupt you right there. We have a couple of callers, let's see, on here. Let's go to 504-488, followed by 314-833. Okay, 504, Bilal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank God for my brother, your cousin. And so as I understand your sojourn, mine was, you know, pretty much mental, you know, playing games with the system. But I'm glad that I'm here where I'm at, and I'm praise be to God. I'm glad that you, where you are too. So, you know, we thank God for that. There's something I wrote I'd like to share for you, guys. Here we go. Prophet Jesus Christ and the Quran set things right. He had to be responsible. This is what he said to his disciples. Will you be my helpers and my cause? This is what we were taught. Disciples say, we are servants to God. They had to make it clear that they were with him and a mission to help solve people's problems. We thank Allah for them. We thank God for them. God made the creation to help man grow and prosper. Man needs discipline and order to live and work together. We are creatures of faith. What we do is for God's sake. Life is a purification process. You can't hide behind blackness. Star created the creation for all people of faith. What righteous people do is for God's sake. We want to make sure that we never help Shaitan escape. And thank you, brother, for your for what you gave and what you shared with us. I had a lot of the definition put on me, too, for it mentally was my son. But like I say, it was for me. I had to play a lot of mind games, but that still take a toll on you at that time. Thank God for, you know, for helping us come where we are right now. So keep doing the work you do. And thank God for you, too. Peace.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. Praise be to God. Thank you, Bilal. Alaykum as-salam. And Mujahideen. Then we go. Mujahideen, did you have a question or comment you want to share?
Oh, no, I think it was off on the last show. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right. Hold on. All righty, when we go to our dear brother, all the way from St. Louis, Missouri. Come on down, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum wa Jumma Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam wa Jumma Mubarak to you, Martha. Naila Abdullah, and to your very distinguished guest, your cousin, the deacon, Douglas, and to the very esteemed listenership there at AM 360 Radio. Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say Alhamdulillah, which simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost for all that we have experience in life, and we're still here. We always got to give the praise and thanks to God. You know, I was listening very attentively, Deacon Douglas, to your very intriguing narrative or story of your life. And I have maybe say two or three questions. Yeah. 21 years before you could get 100% in terms of benefits. My question to you, I know that in terms of service, you have what is called dishonorable discharge. So rejecting giving you 100%, how were you, that's one question. How was you first classified in regards to that, even if they diagnose a soldier or with some type of mental illness or disability, with the term that they may use, because I have friends that was in the Vietnam War also, and some of them had difficulty in terms of getting 100% benefits. That's one question. The other question is when you say that there was some disdain by the people coming back, you know, from Vietnam to America, of course it wasn't the soldiers' fault in terms of how the American populace looked up on you all. I have to put it in perspective. Because in retrospect, what really happened was as time went on, it was a political decision to do what the United States did. And so it came to the reality of the people that the United States should not have been in Vietnam, you know, from the very beginning. And we know the legendary boxing champion Muhammad Ali was some months ago, but he took a stance and said he would just take imprisonment rather than go. And so for that, at that particular time in history, that was not a popular decision, and it was seen as being un-American. And obviously the soldiers, the ones that went, depending on the branch that they went, and whether it was Marines or soldiers or you know, the Air Force or what, they went with the intention, the loyalty of defending the country, and maybe even the propaganda that was given to those who enlisted And so, of course, you're thinking, you know, it should be a hero's type welcome, and then you receive something else. So my second question becomes, do you see that as in terms of, was it more, think, profound for African Americans more than maybe, say, European Americans, or you just saw it just in general, the disdain, non-welcoming those who participated? And then my last question, the third question, is this, hopefully you're jotting this down. The third question is this, in terms of, you know, before actually going, just going back in terms of the things that you actually said, in retrospect, as you have grown and actually the path to finding God in your life, making you a better man, a better person, and all, before that, have you actually reflected back on your life and been able to find what produced these type of emotions in you in terms of the socialization? Of course, how you was raised up. Was there any one thing that you can think of that really triggered the type of mental attitude and disposition that you had early on in life as a young man? Those are my three questions, and hopefully you and your cousin have jotted those down. So just in brief, the first question in terms of the discharge, was it, did they label it as dishonorable because perhaps what it had happened and everything, and then declaring that there was mental illness that was there, and then that they later changed that from dishonorable to honorable to get your 100% benefits after 21 years, and then coming back from Vietnam in the expectation, somewhat of a hero's welcome, you got just the opposite. You know, was that more that you see in terms of because you're African American or what, or did that come to your realization that the mindset had changed in terms of the policy making of those that was in leadership to be in Vietnam? It wasn't so much in terms of the soldiers, but more so the disdain they had for government decision. And so obviously you all became the victim, or was it more from your perspective because she was African-American? And then the third question would be in terms of being a young man and the hostility that you had in your mind and your heart and all, can you look back upon your life to see what was it in retrospect that triggered that way of thinking? Those are my three questions, and I'll just listen in to your response. Very intriguing story, and I see the commonality, the thread, that for many Vietnam vets, some similarity, but also a uniqueness in your situation. Thank you for sharing with us, and I'll just listen to your response. Thank you. Peace be with you.
Thank you, my brother. Now, I got an honorable discharge from Vietnam. They wanted me to try to enlist. Tour duty in Vietnam was enough for me. I had a gunny sergeant over there try to get me to stay in. So it wasn't behind my discharge. It was just with, and the other question about, was it just because I was an Afro-American? No. They treated all Vietnam vets the same. Didn't go by because of your color or your race. They just didn't like no Vietnam vets. And your third, and the reason it took 21 years
for me to get a disability because they kept telling me that then everything that I was presenting to them, they kept saying it didn't happen to me in Vietnam. But then Ron Daniels and his brother Don Daniels, they saw my 103. My 103 in my file. Your 103 is with all the operations that you was on. And they presented and I didn't even realize it was in my records. And they took me to see Miss Mary Clark. She worked for one of our senators here, Arlen Specter. He was one of the men on the Foreign Affairs. And with his help, they gave me my first door was 50%. Then they came back and gave me my other 70% altogether and made me unemployable. So when that unemployable with the other 70% and the other 30% unemployable, that mean I wasn't able to work any other job, no job in the future. My psychiatrist and my psychotherapy told them that I would never be able to work no job in the future. So that's why I got the 100%. And your second question was, oh, wow.
Well, the last that you answered too. The last one was, what triggered you from being a young man with the hostility? Was it just the service, or was it something from childhood days?
No, it wasn't nothing from childhood days. My hostility, when I went to Vietnam, I was, like I said, I came from a Pentecostal religion. I was groomed to be a preacher, but all that changed when I hit Vietnam. All the stuff that I went through over in Vietnam, and then I came home, like you was asking, did it make me angry because what I was looking for to be accepted as a hero, but then I got accepted as a baby killer and a drug addict. But no, that wasn't it. It was the way that the people here in America treated the Vietnam vet. So that hostility built the anger inside of me, built up even more because I had been in a hostility place in Nam where somebody was trying to kill me, and I didn't even know why. I had a Vietnam little kid come up to me and ask me, brother, why are you over here trying to kill my people? And you don't even have freedom in your country. I had those questions asked me by Vietnamese over there in Vietnam. Yes. But
okay.
I went to Vietnam trying to fight for this country. It wasn't the anger that I was looking to be a hero when I got back home. I went to fight for this country. But it was how the people treated us Vietnam vets. And just like I was saying before, we still go down to D.C. in February, a busload of DAV, disabled veteran, like I am, and go down in front of the Senate Hearing Committee, and they all saying to themselves, to us, it'd be veteran DAV units from all over America and plus Puerto Rico. And they said they would never treat no other vets had they treated the Vietnam vets. That's because they treated us worse than dirt. So that's why a lot of veterans thank the Vietnam vets, because they know if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't be getting all the benefits that they getting now. That's how I feel about that, brother. But thanks for asking those questions.
Okay, we have another questioner coming up. And everyone, you're listening to the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, American Muslim 360. Anytime you want to join us, you can, 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Or you can listen while on streaming. That's 701-719-4197. And you can tweet us at capital CWS, lowercase H-U-R-A-A. That's at CW Shura. Email us, info@cwsc.us. You can phone and leave a comment on our office line number, 910-317-0297. And, of course, like us on Facebook, Community-Wide Shura Conference. This is the Community-Wide Shura Conference Friday Roundtable. And we go to our next caller, which is 336-575. I want to say this is Fleming Elamy, but I will hold that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and it is Brother Fleming Elamy.
It is.
listen, I want to thank your cousin. Yes. Jumma Mubarak. Listen, your cousin is giving a heart. Yes, your cousin is really giving a heartfelt testimony of his life, and anyone who's lived through that period should be able to identify with what he said. During that era, I was reclassified from 1A to 2C because I was going to college, but a lot of my cousins went to Vietnam, and what they told me when they got back was that their greatest enemy sometimes were their fellow Vietnamese soldiers, not Vietnamese, American soldiers who happened to be Caucasian. They had to defend themselves against them more so sometimes than the Viet Cong. And that really disturbed them mentally because they thought they were going to fight one enemy, and the enemy turned out to be the former soldiers or co-soldiers who had that racism complex that they carried with them even in the Vietnam. And one of my cousins re-enlisted to go back over there for a second tour of duty. And his bad experience was that he woke up one time from operation. They didn't put enough anesthesia to kill the nerve centers, and he saw part of his intestines on the right side of the little table they had him on. They were doing experimental surgery on him to try to find out what the problem was. So that gave him a mental attitude about ever going to Vietnam Hospital or Veterans Hospital, excuse me, and it made him really fear the services he was entitled to. So in time, then we formed a group in North Carolina called Advocates for Disabilities of Northwest North Carolina. And we have processed brothers and sisters who needed to be qualified for their benefits. And he eventually got, 100%. But it was a lot of institutional, I'm going to call it what it is, racism, from Social Security to part of the other agencies that resisted giving those brothers what they actually earned through sacrificing their lives and limbs sometimes in Vietnam. The last thing we discovered was that if you go straight to the congressperson, you can avoid some of that if you can get them on board to help you process your paperwork. Just your brother, cousin testified earlier, they have a much more direct way of making that happen. But we work with this group for about 10 years now, and we've had some successes. It's a very low-key operation, but it's very, very effective because we have people in line, lawyers, et cetera, who really go to bat for the people, really get them what they deserve in terms of their full benefit package. And finally, I know in North Philadelphia, my uncle, unfortunately, lost his life in North Philadelphia, and I've been there a few times, but it's an environment that sort of produces a certain attitude toward people just because of the environment itself. But I want to again just thank you, brother. His testimony in itself was heartfelt. I just thank God and thank Allah that he was able to make you the example that we can all learn from today. So again, thank you very much. And may Allah and Almighty God continue to bless you with success and fortitude to tell your testimony. You really have a testimony to tell, and people should listen to what you're saying with an open heart and open mind, God willing. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Martha, and peace be upon you, my brother, and God's blessings
thank you.
Too.
Thank you, my brother.
Yes, and peace, God's peace be upon you too, Fleming, right there in North Carolina. And we know, there's so much that we know about North Carolina now too, and I mean, just in the recent years and all from the yesteryears, because many people coming from North Carolina, South Carolina. But praise be to Almighty God. Yes, thank you, Fleming, and to my cousin. Yes, you go ahead. You were going to share.
I appreciate everything that the young man just said, and he's right about North Philly. And that's where I grew up at. And North Philly is a very violent part of Philadelphia. So you better get your life together in North Philly because you won't survive. And that made me even harder because North Philly will grow you up.
Mm. Now, we have two other callers. I'm going, everyone, we're now off the official airtime. But so we're going to, what we call the grace period. So anytime it could shut off. But we want you to remember, Jumah will be, Share Your Jumah will be coming from Masjid Allah in Plainfield. Is that New Jersey? Plainfield, with Imam Abdul Aziz, who is the Imam of Masjid Adams, the Center for Human Excellence in Bronx, New York. So that will start at 1 p.m. today. He will come on at 1:10, but we will be here at 1 o'clock today, inshallah, just in case we get cut off. All right, we go to our 314, back to Mark Shahid, and then followed by 251-366. All right, Mark Shahid.
Yes, yeah, back again. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you, my brother, Deacon Douglas. I echo the same sentiments. Commissioner Fleming El-Amin, in terms of your very intriguing narrative or story. You know, I also wanted to acknowledge that I'm very familiar, and it's something I learned today, in terms of a family member, Buster Douglas, and his place in boxing history. Some people may remember that he was the first one to beat the young Mike Tyson in professional boxing. Up until that time, Tyson had distinguished himself in knocking out opponents in one or two rounds. This fight actually took place outside of the United States. It took place in Japan. But one of the things I wanted to share with the radio listening audience, I'm quite sure you know that, and maybe Martha knows that, he being a member of your family, I didn't know that. But what was very intriguing about that, you're talking about taking something that would be classified as adversity, no more in terms of a family member, you know, actually having to deal with adversity. After he had signed a contract to fight Mike Tyson, I think in his training, he lost his mother. His mother transitioned. And he dedicated, he being Buster Douglas, dedicated that fight on behalf of her and how important she was to him. And he fought the best fight of his life. And consequently, the results was he had defeated the undefeated world champion at that time, Mike Tyson. And it was no fear on his part, as many of the opponents that fought Mike Tyson before that, they were really very, very fearful of him because of his devastating punching. But through his excellence in terms of training and boxing skills and dedicating, being motivated by the fact that he had lost his mother, he dedicated that bout and ultimately became the heavyweight champion of the world. I just wanted to say that because that was something that oftentimes people don't know or something, whereas adversity can be a motivation. I'll stop there. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Chicken Duck.
Oh, Mark.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. Boxing, Buster Douglas. Yeah, I saw that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked when he did beat Tyson because people were going afraid of Tyson. So,
yes.
But with the grace of God, Buster beat him.
Yeah.
And everybody that I was telling him that he was our cousin, they didn't. They said they wouldn't believe it.
but you know what? But Deacon Douglas, I think that behind the scene, what had happened to him going into that fight it's like that cliche saying, you know, when lemons are given to you, we don't look upon death as lemons from an Islamic perspective, of course, but that's devastation in a person's life to lose your mother. Just think about that. You lose your mother, and he could have easily have backed out of the fight, but he didn't. What he did was he dedicated that fight to his mother, and he fought the best fight that he ever fought, and he ultimately defeated an undefeated world champion at that particular time. Now, he didn't hold the championship for a long time because, as I recall, his next fight, he lost it. But he got in the best shape he ever had gotten in his professional boxing career. And that dedication, my point is that dedication that he had in terms of his mother and his love for his mother, that was the motivation. It's like, I'm not going to lose this. You know, when you dedicate something to somebody so near and dear as your mother, that was the motivation, this inspiration, and he was able to, because the odds were great against him. They didn't give him any, Buster Douglas didn't have any chance by the odds maker. And it goes down in history as one of the greatest upsets in professional boxing history. I just wanted to say that, but how he was motivated in that regard, because he could have easily backed out of the fight. I lost my mother. I'm not even in a good mental state to be able to do this because my mind is concentrated on my mother, or it could have been still a period of mourning on his part. That's my point. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you and everything. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you, Deacon Douglas. May Allah continue to bless you and us.
All right. Thank you, my brother. It's the Lake Salon.
Alhamdulillah. All right, we go to our next caller, 251-366. Thank you for your patience. Assalamu alaikum. Please take your name. Where are you calling from?
Yes, well, this is George from Mobile, Alabama. And I would just like to say that I can attest. Yes, Martha, it's good to hear your voice too as well. But I just would like to attest everything that's been said and to your cousin there, based on my experience with my brother. My brother was a Vietnam vet, and that really was a war that we shouldn't have been in. But our president and others thinking maybe they could beat Vietnam because they weren't industrialized at that point. They thought it's going to be an easy win. But anyway, our young men sent over. And like you say, they had to not only fight discrimination, again, from the Vietnamese, but from the Caucasians as well. But my brother grew up in the Iron Mitt neighborhood as being known as a tough cookie. He didn't take anything from anybody. He didn't let anybody run over. And that's the kind of person he was. And he looked out for his sisters. So, but anyway, he was sent to Vietnam, and he did everything he was supposed to have done, fighting and so forth. But this being this particular commander's unit and everything, there was a lot of young boys was coming back home in boxes. They were African Americans, and I can attest to that. And this particular barracks that my brother was in said that the commander, every soldier that the commander sent out into that jungle, they came back dead. They wound up being dead. And that's because they had snipers in the jungle. And so this was a war that our soldiers, you know, definitely couldn't win. And the president and others knew of it. So when my brother was instructed to go out into the jungle, he refused. And so he would have wound up coming back dead as the others had gone out. So anyway, rather than court-martialing him, they just gave him a dishonorable discharge. But letting you know that some of that racism there, sending our boys out instead of their own to be killed, and this was happening, and the people here in the United States didn't give them a welcome back home because they considered them as traitors when they should have been looking to the president and to the government. It was their fault because it shouldn't have been over there in that particular war anyway. But I just wanted to share that with you, and thank you. And my brother did, you know, he was able to get his insurance and so forth, and then he was affected like that with that Agent Orange and so forth. And so he was able to get health coverage from all of that and so forth. But I just wanted to share that
your
with
brother,
you. And
Joyce, let me ask you, you were saying your brother did eventually, they changed the dishonorable?
Right, because they knew, the commander knew, and plus his comrades, they knew. He was a fighter. He wasn't scared of anything, Vietnamese or anybody, you know, whatever he came upon, because that's the way he was raised, that's the way that he came up. So rather than doing that, giving him this court-martial and so forth, they just allowed him, I guess, to be that, I guess, somehow dishonorable discharge without the court-martial or whatever, where he would still be able to get his benefits and all. But that was what saved him, because they were getting ready to court-martial him, and they were going to put him in jail for refusing to obey his officer. So I just want to share that with you, because a lot of our young men, but there were a lot of black African-Americans in that particular war, and they were coming back left and right in coffins. And so to me, I feel like sometimes the different situations in the United States, people want to call it genocide or get rid of when they're not pleased with a certain particular race of people. To me, that was another genocide to me. That's what I would have to consider that as being, because a lot of our young men lost their lives for a war that shouldn't have been. But thank you so much, Martha, and I appreciate you allowing me to voice that. And
thank
pray
you.
That things get
thank
better for the
you.
Veterans, for all veterans.
I mean, thank you, Joyce. And Joyce is calling out of Alabama, John, from the South.
Yes. I'd like to just comment, like her brother, he received a general discharge. That's why he was able to get his benefit. It wasn't a dishonor. It was a general discharge.
Okay,
he got that's what he got, so he could get his disability, because his command and them knew that he wasn't afraid. So that's why they didn't court martial. So that's why they gave him a general discharge. So he still got his benefit. And but the bad thing about Vietnam, there was no rear in Vietnam. Vietnam was anywhere you were stationed in Vietnam, you could get shot, you could get mortar attacked, you could get rockets, sniper fire, because even like the kids now that was in Afghanistan and Iraq is using sophisticated cell phones. Over in Vietnam, they would give kids hand grenades and tell the kid to walk over to a group of Marines and stick out the hand. So one of the Marines would reach, taking the kid, try to give him something, and then the hand grenade would blow and kill the kid and the Marine. So they used the kids in Vietnam just like they used the kids in Afghanistan and Iraq. So all they want to do is kill American soldiers, don't care who they can use. But I'm glad that her brother got his disability, because it's a lot of brothers that right to this day, you got more Vietnam veterans in the penitentiary and homeless than any other veterans out there that been in any war. That's my comment.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And thank you, George. We go to another caller, dear brother Amin. I mean, calling from California. Assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, yes. This is me, Sister Claire Mama, stemschool.com, sisterclairemamastemschool.com. Yes, it's a brother here named Malik, and he holds a Vietnam era, and I think an after era, like sessions consulting. I went to one of the meetings because I'm a real estate broker, and some of the brothers have GI bills and stuff. So, but it's a lot of brothers are fighting to get their benefits because of how they were discharged. So, I know here in Los Angeles, it was about maybe 25 brothers in there who meet a couple of times a week, and they have a counselor to come and help them get their benefits, and we'll fight for them to get their benefits. There's certain papers or something that you have to file, because they know there's a lot of racism going on in the Vietnam area, and they was, you know, putting the brothers out there on the front line, a lot of stuff like that. So I think it may have happened during the Obama era, where he made it easier for veterans to get redesignated. But I do know out here in California, you know, that they have these counseling meetings of brothers who want to get their benefits. So I don't know. I can imagine in every big city they have a group like that. So maybe those listening, if you have relatives or something, look into it in your city, of these brothers who are counselors. They're I guess they're trained, and they know the rules and they know the law. So I leave it right there. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. Thank you so much, Amin.
Yes, cuz,
right.
I'd like to comment.
Yes, I want to let everyone know we're going to be closing out after this. But yes, please, by all means, John, I'm so thankful. Go right ahead.
Yes, out of all veterans that died over there in Vietnam, Philadelphia had the most veterans die from Edison High School. It was 67 black Afro-Americans in all together, because that school was a boys' school, and it was a Catholic school here in Philadelphia that had more guys die from, I think it was O'Hara, that had more kids die from their school than any high school in America. And so the guy I came to Philly with, he was from Edison. And the other brother, Kenny Trees, he was from Edison. So they have a reunion every year for the 67 guys that died from Edison High over in Vietnam. Out of all the high schools in America, more of them died from Edison than any other high school. And that school was predominantly black. That was my last comment about Vietnam.
Thank you, cuz. And that has helped, I'm sure, many listeners to not forget or not rush over when we speak about people being homeless. This leads me into the homeless situation. Why we may look and say, well, that's a veteran. Why are they out here on the street? Well, now we know and get right into the shift of being a citizen all over again. So, alhamdulillah. Praise be to Almighty God, cuz. I look forward to seeing you close to the end of this month. And now you have met the host, the one who has been hosting me for CWSC, hosting me to be a part of the East Coast connection, communication, and collaboration. And I'm doing the one-on-one, the executive team with executive committee, Imam Omar Shakir, Central, and Dr. Aisha Kareem, West Coast. We are making our mark to really, truly get to know definitely those of our religious community, Muslim community, and then we will spread it. But right now we're concentrating on identifying how we can connect and really get to know one another. And it takes those one-on-ones. That's okay there. It takes those one-on-ones. So thank you, cuz. We'll be at the table. I'll be making some more coffee, which you don't drink.
No, I don't.
He has a coffee. He has a coffee pot there, y'all. I just go and I use that coffee pot and sit at the table. We both are busy, and we both get up and we pray, and then we go about our week with family. And we didn't even bring it to the picture. We better not miss our that my dear cuz Delisha, his daughter, Delisha, and his other daughter and his granddaughter had a birthday while I was there. His grandson AD and the cat named Scone. Cat named
now,
and then
Sabrina, Sabrina, and Sabrina and Jack, and then my grandson got a cat named Chump.
Chump, yeah. So it's a beautiful situation, everyone. While getting work done, we still can keep life, keep living, keep seeking to live. Seek life over death is where I'll put it as a prophetic mode of saying it. Praise be to Almighty God. And thank you, cuz, once again. Love you. We're going to go out with a our song that's saying humanity, everyone, is everybody's business. So when we think about the veterans, as we just left from September, I think November is another time here for the veterans. But whenever the time is, just look at our families and thank Almighty God for them and their intentions. Love you, cuz.
Love
alaykum.
You back. Make it too long.
You can stay on and hear this closing song. Okay. I'm closing your mic, though. All right, everyone. I remember Juma at 1 o'clock right here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. And to all of our hosts, Saturday at 12 noon is our meeting time, so please plan to be there as well. Okay, let's see here. Going to our song, Humanity. And, of course, humanity is everybody's business. We may think of the Good Samaritan, however we think of it. Plan to be a part of this human family. Here we go. I'm playing the full rendition of it. We ask this question. We're asking God's question.
Everybody's business. We all must do our
Everybody's business, everyone. Praise be to Almighty God. As we think about our life and we want for everyone what we want for ourselves, but we definitely want to think and thank, or rather, Almighty God for blessing us to be in each other's company, each other's presence. Day and return at 1 p.m. right here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I'm Martha Naila Abdullah, and our guest for today has been our Deacon John Douglas of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Mujahideen, please forgive me, but of the Muslim Journal, A Time to Be Grateful, presenting A Time to Be Grateful information, but he's with the And let me wait till I get a network connection. I'll get it better, inshallah, God willing. But you heard he was our first guest this morning from 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 a.m. and then 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., Deacon John Douglas. And you, dear listeners, you could have been anywhere and doing anything else, but you chose to be here with us, and we thank Almighty God for you. And please continue and share with a friend that they may tune in to AM 360 any time of the day, and you will hear the time for the next presentation and the presenter. All right? Praise be to Almighty God. Thank you. And I'll be with you tonight, inshallah, God willing, 7 p.m. for Community Developmental Stages and Community Buzz. And the question is, have you heard? So bring what is happening in your area. God's peace be upon you.